grab your Bible and stand with us, please. Let's honor the reading of God's Word today. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah. Our text is chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. These are fairly familiar verses around the holiday season. I think many of you will recognize Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lift your hand in this house if you know him as those names. Do you know him? Who knows him as a Prince of Peace in this room? Isn't he a mighty God? Isn't he wonderful and a counselor? We know him. It's talking about him as a baby, but we know him by those names. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. For the purpose of emphasis, I want to say that line again from the Word of God. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. I want you to notice the Word of God says that the peace of God does not end. Does not end. He's the Prince of Peace then. He's the Prince of Peace now, ladies and gentlemen. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another ministry opportunity at this great church. I pray today, Lord, as you bring our ministries together in covenant partnership, that it will be all about you. That everything that's said and done from this moment on will be for your glory. I pray for an anointing to flow not only on me, but on those that are about to receive your word today. Lord, I pray that lives will be changed even during the preaching of the word. I declare the sick will be healed even during the preaching of the word. I declare that the broken will be restored even during the preaching of the word. Lord, let your word go forth and accomplish that which it is intended to accomplish. We're going to give you thanks in advance for that in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated if you promise to amen the preacher. All right, everybody sit down. I'm looking for some amens in this place. For the note takers, I'm going to speak a few minutes. A message the Lord has laid on my heart, I call it peace busters. Peace busters. How many fathers in the room? Raise your hand if you're a father, all right? Would you also, gentlemen, raise your hand if you were actually in the room when your children were born? Would you raise your hand, all right? Most of you were. So then, most of the men were there. Ladies, I'm going to assume you were there, amen. All right, well, you're just going to assume that right up front. So everybody knows that childbirthing experience. I think everybody in the house is going to agree with me about one thing. We would not consider the birth of a child a peaceful moment, amen. Peace is not what came to my mind when I was there for my daughter's birth. In fact, there wasn't anything peaceful about it. I think if we think about our own personal experiences in that area, and then we reflect on the two verses that we just read regarding the birth of Jesus Christ, I believe it's safe to assume the birth of Jesus Christ was not peaceful either. However, one of the descriptions of him prophesied before his birth was that he would be the Prince of Peace. And our text said there wouldn't be an end to his peace. It's going to resonate in every mind in this room right now because it kind of goes without saying. We live in a chaotic world. There's chaos all around. You read the newspaper, you look on the internet, you watch the newscast. There's chaos in our world. Let's bring it home maybe even to your individual families. Maybe you got some things going on in your family. Maybe there's chaos going on in your family. Maybe people aren't getting along. Maybe there's chaos going on in your body. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe there's a lot of circumstances and situations around you that are chaotic and that it just doesn't feel good, and you're in divine need of a visitation from the Prince of Peace in this house today. I'm going to declare something over you right now that will become repetition throughout the course of this message. I want it to resonate in you. I want it to be your takeaway from this service today. There's a lot happening around us, friend. A lot going on. But because the Prince of Peace is on the throne of our heart, your heart and my heart, here's what I want to declare over you and me today. That what's going on around us will not get in us. It's not going to get in us because the Prince of Peace has residence in our hearts and lives. I don't care how chaotic it gets. I don't care how crazy it gets. I don't care how hard it gets. I choose to live in peace because the Prince of Peace is ruling in my heart today, and what's going on around me will not get in me in the name of Jesus. And it will not get in you in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout, I receive that. It's not going to get in me. There might be a lot of stuff. It might be hectic. It might be chaotic. People might be speaking negative things into me. But the Prince of Peace is on the throne of my heart today. There's a saying that's very popular around this time of year. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. It's a great saying. It always clicks around the holidays. But I want us to know as people of God, that's not a scriptural saying. It's not a biblical saying. It's a holiday saying. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. In fact, that verse is it's only kind of halfway referred to one time, Luke 12:51, and it wasn't even in reference to the birth of Christ. So the Bible says that Jesus not necessarily came to bring peace on earth, but came to bring peace to you and me. Again, would you say, I receive that? Speak that. I receive that peace. See, how many know if he brings peace to us, it's going to help bring peace to the world? See, the peace of God. I want to take you to one more place before we get to my main points. Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. Again, familiar holiday verses here. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, watch this church, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Don't miss that. See what the word of God just said? Peace on whom his favor rests. Everybody shout, that's me. That's me. See, so he's speaking peace on people, on you and on me, and I'm going to receive that today. Moving forward, you may have walked in very busy, chaotic, your mind going in a million directions. You've had company for days. You've been cooked. You've been busy. All that chaos, all that hectic life. But today, the Lord's just trying to calm us in the midst of the chaos. And the Prince of Peace is declaring to you today that all that's going on around you doesn't have to get in you. Your mind, your spirit, and your body is at perfect peace in Jesus' name. I'm going to share today what I call peace busters. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he came to give us peace, then you and I know that everything the Lord tries to do for us, the devil's trying to stop. So the enemy doesn't want you living in peace. The enemy wants you living in turmoil and chaos and full of worry. So let's talk about some peace busters, some things maybe the enemy is using to disrupt the peace in our life. Number one, everybody shout, here we go. Number one, peace buster, uncontrollable circumstances. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 20 said, disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed and my shelter in a moment. You and I know, even as people of God, some things have come our way that are out of our control. We can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about the way other people act. There are a lot of circumstances and situations that we cannot control that disrupt the peace in our lives. Am I preaching the truth today? We can't even control. A church gathered together just like we did this morning in Sutherland Spring, Texas. In the middle of a church service, a gunman walks in, just starts shooting, killing people. Uncontrollable circumstances. A group of people gather for a concert in Las Vegas, Nevada, just there to have a good time and listen to a singer sing, when a gunman opened a motel room and just started firing into the crowd. Uncontrollable circumstances. We can't control the weather. Hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, out of our control. The bad report from the doctor, you've got cancer. The car wrecks, the layoffs, things we cannot control. But I want every person in the house to know, if you're sitting in church, it's out of your control. It's not out of His control. He still got you in the palm of His hand. He's still the Prince of Peace living on the throne of your heart. And there might not be anything you can do about it. It might be out of your control. But I'm happy to have a microphone today and stand before you and tell you that our God is still in control, ladies and gentlemen. He's not out of control, even though we might be out of control. About a year ago, I was invited to the country of Haiti to speak at a pastor's conference. I was invited by an incredible missions group called Missions of Hope. My wife and I flew to Haiti. They asked us to come in a day early. I was going to have a pastor's conference. I was going to speak to about 400 pastors. And they said, why don't you come in a day early and kind of look at our facility? We want to show you what we do. And so we did that. So that first day, we're kind of touring the facility. And while we're walking through, we came to a room. It didn't look any different than any other room, but the missionary kind of stopped, opened the door, had us poke our head in. We looked, and you may remember that back in the year 2010, Haiti had an earthquake in that small country that killed over 270,000 people. Uncontrollable circumstances. The missionary was telling us that through that earthquake, you can imagine the chaos. They called upon the Mission of Hope compound to serve as a medical facility. Over 270,000 people were killed, but you can imagine how many more were injured and hurt. So they began to bring the wounded and the hurting to Mission of Hope compound. He stopped in the room that he was showing us. He was telling us about an American doctor from Austin, Texas, who got on a plane immediately and flew down to help, as did many American doctors. He said there were two ladies brought into that room. Building had fallen on them. Their legs were crushed, and there's no doubt their legs are about to be amputated. And this particular surgeon, after looking at them, walked out into the hallway to talk with other medical people and said, there's no way I'm going to be able to save these ladies' legs. And because they're bleeding so much, I'm probably not going to be able to save their lives. He turned around and walked back in. When he did, these two ladies, laying on a cot side by side, had joined hands. And they were singing to the top of their voice, "You are awesome in this place, Mighty God." Blood pouring out of their body. they know they're going to lose their legs and probably their life. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. The surgeon tried unsuccessfully. Both ladies died. What I didn't tell you was this surgeon from Austin, Texas was an atheist. He did not believe in God. After walking in, seeing these two ladies and hearing them sing that song in the midst of uncontrollable circumstances shifted the atmosphere in that room. And the Spirit of God connected with an atheist surgeon. Both women are dead. He walked back into the hallway, fell on his knees, and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. An atmosphere, a conviction. 3 months later, he brought his whole family, his wife and two teenage sons, back to that very room and told the missionary, I wanted my family to see the place where I found Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, even if it's out of our control, it's not out of His control. It might be horrible. It might be devastating. You might be sitting in church today feeling hopeless and helpless, but you serve a God who is not. He is the Prince of Peace seated on the throne of your heart today. It's out of our control, but it's not in His, not out of His control. And what's going on around us is not going to get in us today, because the Prince of Peace is in me. And no matter how bad it gets, I'm still going to sing, You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. If it turns horrible, just like Job, I still trust in Him. Uncontrollable circumstances. Number two, we're talking about peace busters. Number two, unnecessary problems. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 3 says, a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. Everybody smile, even if you got to fake it. Because you know what? I know that verse. I've seen it so many times happen to people. Bad things happen to them, and they blame God. But I'm just got to tell you today, keep smiling, both of you that are. I just got to tell you today, sometimes when things go bad for Lynn Wheeler, sometimes when it didn't go as I had planned, it's my fault. This is the holiest church I've ever preached in. Come on, am I preaching to anybody but me? Sometimes I made a bad decision. Sometimes I made a wrong choice. And I got no right to point my finger at anybody else. I feel all alone in here today. Huh? Sometimes I just got to own up and say, that is on me. Unnecessary problem. Brought on by my own poor choices and my own bad decision. Smile, church. I won't be here next week. Hang in there, all right? Next, it's on me sometime. Oh, I know I'm in debt real bad, but I sure want that boat. I better stay up here. It's not safe out there, is it? Oh, I know they're not a Christian, but I'm going to go ahead and date them. I'll probably lead them to the Lord. My own poor choice. I know I shouldn't be eating pizza at midnight. Now I lost the anointing, didn't I? I lost it now. If I'd have made different decisions and better choices, sometimes that would have helped me out. Sometimes we can't point the finger anywhere else but right back at us. Okay, the next one will be more fun, okay? You're welcome. Praise God. Number three, unbearable people. Okay, I'll preach since you're begging me. How many know some unbearable people? Come on, it's all right. Don't point. No, no, no. Raise your hand. All right. Man, I gotta preach a whole nother sermon now on finger pointing to this church. Unbearable people. Psalm 109, verse 3, with words of hatred, they surround me, they attack me without a cause, the psalmist said. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes people rob us of our peace. Other people rob us of our peace. I'm going to have the media booth throw something up on the screen for you. I think we're all going to be able to relate to this if we can put that picture up, okay? Hello, may I please speak with Jesus, because these folks are going to make me break at least four of the Ten Commandments. Amen. Y'all didn't know Kermit was anointed, didn't you? Come on, don't get holy. How many can relate to this here just a little bit? Okay, we are having an altar call for liars. That just, yeah. Oh, yeah. Unbearable. The reality is we try as believers. Come on, I just need two people to help me preach. We try to forgive. We try to forget. We try to apply these principles that Pastor Steve's taught us, and we don't want to have anything in our heart, but sometimes when we just hear their name, help us, Jesus. I'm about to break 10 out of 10 commandments. Huh? Yeah. Sometimes it's unbearable. But come on, how many in the house know that it doesn't matter who's around me, their spirit's not going to get in me? It's not because the Prince of Peace has taken up residence in my heart, and nobody is going to rob me of that peace. Hear me, church. If somebody has enough power over you to rob you of the peace of Jesus that is in you, then they're too powerful in your life. They're too powerful in your life. Jesus has to be the most powerful force in our life. Now, number four, we'll close with this. Thanks for not clapping for that. I do appreciate that. Uncontrollable worry. Uncontrollable worry. We try not to. The verses have been read to us today. Don't worry. We try not to. But yet, it's there. We put our head on the pillow at night. We can't go to sleep. We're worried. This time of year, it's a proven fact. Everybody starts worrying about money this time of year more than any other time in the year. Throughout the seasons. If you're a parent, you worry about your kids. Am I preaching the truth? You worry. There's all kinds of things. Worry. The enemy wants to use that against you. It's a peace buster. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Uncontrollable worry. I'll take you back to the Haitian pastors' conference that I spoke at last year. On the day of the conference, my assignment was to speak three different times, and I'm there in an open-air tabernacle setting, and there are 400 pastors that are there. They told me over 70% of them had walked more than 7 miles to come to church. It's hot in Haiti, folks. It's challenging. I'm standing back there, and they're singing worship songs, and they're about ready to introduce me. Missionary comes over, puts his arm around me, and said something that shook me to the core. He said, Lynn, I just want you to know that of these 400 pastors that are here, I'm quite safe in saying that about 70% of them still have no idea how they're going to feed their family tonight. I said, Otis, wait just a minute. Say that to me again. He repeated it. And I got to tell you, church, in 32 years as a traveling minister, I've spoken in all kinds of settings, in all kinds of places. But I've never had anything like that spoken to me or said to me. I'm about to speak to a group of people that are sitting there hungry to hear the word of God, but don't know how they're going to feed their family tonight. Can I tell you what I learned from a group of Haitian pastors? Simply this: what's going on around them is not going to get in them. They might not know how they're going to eat, but they're still there to praise God and worship God. Watch this. After all three sessions, I prayed for them, brought these pastors to the front, laid hands on them. And every single time I would ask them, what can I pray with you about? Do you know, not one time did they say, pray for food, pray for finance. You know what they said every single time? Would you please pray for our lost family members and for revival in our church? Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the focus. It's all, and today, I want my focus to be on the Prince of Peace and not my circumstances that are going on around me, not the people and circumstances that are creating chaos. I declare it again, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on around us will not get in us in the name of Jesus. It doesn't. There's no room in there because the Prince of Peace is living on our heart. He in our heart. He's on the throne of our heart today. There's no room in there. But yet, you know what? I'm going to pray for you at the end of the service, but I'm very impressed right now. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm not quite done preaching, but I feel impressed to do something right now. If you're struggling with worry, I want to pray for you right now as a child of God. Take your own hand and lay it on your head right now. I'm not going to come out and lay hands on you, but you take your own hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hand out across this sanctuary, where approximately one half of the people have their hand on their head right now, struggling and battling with worry. I come against it on the authority of the Word of God in the name of Jesus right now. I declare that our minds be at peace, that worry has to go, that peace will rule and reign in these minds, that when they lay their head on the pillow tonight, they will sleep better than they've slept in months, in Jesus' name. That peace will overpower worry right now. I command it on the authority of the Word of God. Worry's got to go. Worry's got to bow down. And I call on the peace of God that passes all understanding to invade our minds and take over in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Come on, everybody shout, I receive that. Do you receive that? My mind will be at peace. See, the enemy's not going to disrupt that. In Jesus' name. See, that uncontrollable worry stops today in Jesus. It's not going to get in my mind. It's not going to affect my decisions because the Prince of Peace is leading, guiding, and directing my life. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for the power of your word today. Thank you that you, the Prince of Peace, have taken a precedence in our hearts and in our minds today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. I'm going to ask God's people, right where you're seated, would you just begin to call upon the name of the Lord? Just in your own way, would you just begin to pray right now? Father, we need you. I've got two questions I want to ask. The first one's the most important because I do not know the spiritual condition of everyone's heart. Let me ask first of all, is there anyone here today and you say, Lynn, I'm not in right relationship with Jesus. He's not the Lord of my life. He's not the Savior of my soul. Would you pray with me today? I've got unconfessed sin in my life. I'm going to ask you, slip your hand up and write back down just real quick. I just want to see, is there one? I realize a remote possibility. I preach to 100% Christians. I'll move on if I have. But I'm now accountable for this service in heaven. So let me just ask. Slip your hand up and write back down. I search the sanctuary one more time. One more time. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Church, would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing all over the church. It's my intent and purpose today to speak something into your life that gives you a takeaway from this service that you won't forget. That's why over and over I have repeated, what's going on around you will not get in you. The next time the enemy tries to get it in you, you have the power to stop that in Jesus' name. You have the power to take authority over that.